The scales of justice are being put to heavy use these days. Canada's courts are assessing the balance the government has struck between security and civil liberty. This morning, the scales tilted slightly to the side of civil liberty as the Supreme Court found that security certificates violate the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And that's good news for the three men who brought the issue to court. Mohammed Harkat is one of those men.
Mr. Harkat, how did you react when you heard the news of the ruling?
Actually, this morning I was sitting on the sofa watching TV, and around 9:45 I received a call from Matt Weber, my lawyer, and he broke the news for me. I just like tear coming down, like, you know, it's at the same time it's the biggest happiness in my life, and the second time, you know, I know I shouldn't supposed to be go through this process, you know, I shouldn't like wait for a day like that for me, because, you know, I'm said innocent the first time. I didn't do nothing, you know, for in Canada or overseas or any place else.
What does it actually mean for you physically? How much more able will you be to move around
now? Mm-hmm. After the ruling, there is nothing I can do until after 1 year is going to see what happened, because now I'm in house arrest already. You see, it's a big day for me. Even I can't go to Supreme Court with my lawyer to get the news directly from the court, because I'm in strict condition. I can't live without like proving the outing like 48 hours in advance and tell him what his location is, and I give him location exactly. Supreme Court, they didn't prove it yet. They didn't let me go out. There is no difference between where I am now or jail before. Just I have like three outing a week for 4 hours has to be, you know, let him what the location is. Even I go from downtown, from my home to downtown, I can't even stop in the route for a coffee, something, so it's not proven in my outing. It's a really, really tough condition where I am now.
That's not changed. How will it actually make your life different in any way at all?
Yeah, it's make life different for me, because, you know, there is no option left for me now. It's like I lost the security certificate the first time, and I'm waiting for deportation. And if Supreme Court didn't decide in my favor, then it's only option left. You're going to let me in the country, or you're going to deport me anytime. Now I'm going to start all over again. It's for me, it's better to start all over again, and at the end, going to prove my names, because if they give me, you know, fair trial at the end, better than they deport me, you know, if I lost Supreme Court, they're going to deport me, and I'm going to face torture and death at the end. They're going to kill me in Algeria.
But you're still in limbo, though.
I'm still in limbo. It's not like different, but I'm hoping like the government of Canada, you know, the new law maybe gonna let, you know, fair trial, and I'm gonna face the allegation, and I face like fair trial like anybody else, and test the question the witness and exam all secret evidence they have it on the camera.
But the government and the authorities still seem to believe that you are a supporter of the armed Islamic group, and that you operated a Pakistani safe house for extremists. What legal action might you still face?
So they said it on RR too, and was defending, you know, their allegation. At the end, it's apologized for him, and he got apologized from Prime Minister. You can't, like, everything you hear, it's true. I don't know where they got evidence from. If they got from government Algeria is already looking for me. It's like I was politics, and I'm running from Algeria from politics. If they got from, you know, sources, they show the evidence, and like you can't like, oh, okay, we have something on you, we can't show it to you because national security. And I believe the decision today for Supreme Court, they want to balance between like rights and national security of Canada.
Would you want to face a trial with facing those charges?
Oh, absolutely. If they have something, just bring it. I'm not running from it. I was just all what we're asking, fair trial. That's what we're asking for.
The government hasn't announced what it plans to do in the year before the court's decision takes effect. I'm wondering, do you think it's possible you might find yourself back behind bars?
My lawyer looking for that option to find out what's going to happen for me. Really, like I told you, for 1 year, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, for sure, I hope we're going to get a new trial and at the end of the year. but I don't know what's going to happen. Like, it's a court system and the lawyer dealing with it.
So you're just in a different kind of limbo?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Harkat, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mohammed Harkat is currently under house arrest in Ottawa. Earlier, the lawyers for Mr. Harkat and his fellow litigants joined with supporters to celebrate the decision. In this For the Record, we begin with some of what Hassan Almri's lawyer, Barbara Jackman, had to say.
Well, first of all, when they're all quashed, because they all will be after a year.
You have to apply to be quashed.
I know, but they should be quashed. But the government will have to, if they want to proceed against any of the men, they will have to start afresh under new law. Under that new law, what we want is a fair hearing where if counsel cannot be present themselves, that there be independent counsel, somebody to test the evidence. That was the biggest concern in relation to these kinds of proceedings. The second part of it, which the Supreme Court has taken care of, is that you can't have a mandatory automatic detention that continues for an indefinite period of time. That is a crucial victory for human rights, I think, in Canada.
Amnesty has been raising concerns about the security certificate process in Canada for over 10 years, and it's very heartening that today we finally have the culmination of that struggle, and at the highest levels possible here in Canada have a strong decision from the Supreme Court, unanimous, penned by the Chief Justice herself, which amongst other things clearly conveys the message that in the domain of counterterrorism law, policy, practice, governments don't get off the hook when it comes to human rights, that human rights have to be at the center, and that it's unacceptable when they put forward mechanisms that lead to human rights violations.
For the record, you just heard lawyer Barbara Jackman, followed by Amnesty International's Canadian Secretary General Alex Neave, speaking to reporters earlier today in Ottawa. But not everyone sees today's decision as a defeat for the government's anti-terrorism policy. David Harris is the former Chief of Strategic Planning for the Canadian Security Intelligence Service.
Mr. Harris, why do you think the Supreme Court has not struck down this law completely, but just given the security certificates another year?
Well, I think essentially it's an upholding of the broad concept of a security certificate. I would imagine, and based on what Chief Justice McLaughlin said, there's a need for a security certificate kind of function in the law of Canada.
It was interesting that Justice Ian Binney said that he thought this whole exercise was, he described it as Clash of the Titans, and it was an effort to try and strike that balance between security and liberty. How do you think that they managed, do you think that they struck the balance?
I think so. I think there was wide recognition that something had to be done about what appeared to be and is now confirmed to have been a violation of Section 7 of the Constitution, where the secrecy of the review by federal court judge was involved. As you've probably seen in the judgment, the court has said that something in the nature of an independent agent acting more or less on behalf of the person who's the subject of a security certificate should be introduced into proceedings, so that you don't just have what lawyers call an ex parte kind of exercise. In other words, just the government speaking alone to a judge. And what this seems to be saying on the Supreme Court's side of things is, look, the whole situation is curable. We can relieve any problem by just introducing some kind of independent agent.
And do you genuinely believe this is curable, that there's some way to have a process like this that could have that degree of secrecy and yet protect people's fundamental rights?
Well, I might not, but the Supreme Court does, and any number of other jurisdictions do. I mean, more seriously, we have seen a number of examples and precedents in Britain and elsewhere where they've tried to come to grips with these challenges of secrecy. We have to remember that there is a war situation, of course, existing, and there are terrorists out there, and we're all struggling, of course, to reconcile some competing interests. The British have introduced their special advocates to present some kind of way of testing the evidence of the Crown, the government, in these kinds of proceedings. And I think a number of people, including academics who were not noted for their support of security certificates, suggest that this sort of independent or quasi-independent office or function could provide the relief we need.
Is that the sort of thing that could be done here, or do you have any? I know that this is something that others have to develop, but I'm wondering if you see a solution for this. You see something that could replace the security certificate process as it is now.
No, I think as the Supreme Court has more or less said, the broader process is about what we need. There is no getting around the fact, unfortunately, that some level of secrecy is going to be required. I mean, just consider, we've got an awful lot of brave Muslims in mosques and other Islamic facilities who are struggling against the dominance by some fairly radical individuals. How would they feel if they were to know that details of their identity and so on might be revealed in some kind of judicial or quasi-judicial proceeding? It could be a kiss of death for many sacrificing people. So it's a difficult balance. And I think that independent concept that the Supreme Court has in fact suggested and recommended might be worth looking at. There were other weaknesses that were identified by the court, though, in the current situation. A concern about arbitrariness, if you remember, given the possibly extended nature of detention. But these things, if you have appropriate appeal mechanisms and review mechanisms where things are testable, should enable the system to proceed and take reasonable cognizance of people's reasonable rights and interests.
We've had various people on the show recently speaking critical of the way the government has been dealing with security issues, who've commented that it seems that the courts are moving sort of in the opposite direction from the government, that there has been an indication the courts are looking at these cases more from the human rights point of view and feeling that the government has not struck the balance between security and liberty. Is it your sense also that the bench is kind of casting a negative eye toward how the government has been prosecuting these cases?
Well, I'd frame things a bit differently. You invoked the concept of human rights, and I think increasingly people, as they see the nature and extent of the threat out there, are coming to see that human rights, law, security, are all part of a spectrum, really a melange in some ways. And if we don't come to grips with the bona fide threats that we are dealing with and infiltration of the country, then ultimately we may wind up with a kind of outburst, whether it's large-scale bombings or, far worse, in a day of weapons of mass destruction type material becoming available, where the result could be the kind of panic we have seen in the past, panic reactions by government, maybe even by courts. And so I think the idea is that if you keep a firm hand on the old tiller and ensure that we don't get behind the curve of national security, we won't be taken by surprise and we won't have to face then the inhibitions on human rights and civil liberties that history has warned us about.
Mr. Harris, I want to thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks a lot, Carol.
Bye-bye.
David Harris is the director of the International and Terrorist Intelligence Program at Insignis Strategic Research, Inc., a counterterrorism, national security, and international risk analysis consulting group.